Welcome to That's Good Sports Podcast. I'm Brandon Perna. This is technically my podcast. I'm here with Will Keyes. I would say he's a minority owner in this podcast. Will is a co-host. He helps me write football videos, and we do this podcast, well, pretty randomly right now, but August is coming up. I think we'll be going every week starting mid-August, once preseason's really shaped up. Will just told me he's going to be on vacation the first week in August. So we're going to go mid-August. This will be every week. So you know, that is our schedule. Right, Will?
Yeah, I mean, we've been off for a little bit. People have been asking for the podcast. By people, I mostly mean one person.
That one guy on Twitter?
Yeah. But one person is technically people in my book, and we have to give the people what they want. And so that's why I woke up at the crack of 8 a.m. To write a rundown get recording. So here we are.
Really, a really in-depth rundown too. I won't share it with the people, but it is. We'll put in some work on this one.
Never question my work ethic.
No. So today we'll talk a little bit about the Broncos training camp starting. Drew Lock's not there. Adam Rank, who has basically kept my channel afloat for the last 2 months. Adam Rank of the NFL Network. Then we've got some quarterback rankings to discuss that Will found. We'll get into that. But I need to talk about a serious injury that happened to me yesterday.
Let's hear about it.
Okay. Just so you know, the trials and tribulations that I'm going through right now. So I was at my parents' house, and my dad has an electric skateboard. I have one as well. But after dinner, it was really nice out, and they have like this big loop that goes around their house, this road. So I was like, I'm going to take the skateboard out. And my aunt and uncle are staying there right now. So they have this bulldog, and the bulldog hates the skateboard, tries to attack it. So I did my loop, and I'm coming back on the electric skateboard. And electric skateboards they're heavy. So the dog was coming at me to attack me, right? And I quickly jump off the skateboard and pick it up. Using only my thumb was like on the grip tape, you know?
Yeah.
And lifted it up. And the grip tape's newish, like really grippy. If you ever skateboarded, you know grip tape will make you have man hands if you handle it enough. And it scratched the heck out of my thumb, Will. I wasn't bleeding or anything, but it scratched it up real good. And now I can't use the thumb identification on my iPhone to open it up. And I have to manually put in my stupid code every time. You know how frustrating that is?
First of all, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm proud of you for podcasting through an injury.
Yeah, this is...
It's really brave of you.
I mean, I kind of finally understand what Alex Smith went through this offseason.
Right. I think he understands what you're going through right now is the better way to put it.
I think if you asked Alex Smith if he'd rather have my injury or his injury, he would say my injury.
Yeah.
He would.
And probably why you shouldn't skateboard past the age of 30. Is that fair?
Well, what you maybe.
Technically.
But it's too fun to cruise on those things. My dad rode it, and he's 63.
Okay.
Do I worry every time he gets on it? Yes. But he's had a pretty good track record so far. So I highly recommend electric skateboards.
Yeah. Plus, you just feel cool as hell.
Yeah. No, you do. It's like snowboarding on pavement, because you can really just like carve into them, but without a lot of the muscle work, since you're just pushing a button to make you go.
Wait, is there like a remote that operates it that you hold in your hand?
Yeah, hold the remote, so you control the speed.
Wow.
Yeah.
How fast were you going?
I don't know. They say like, if you had a radar, you wouldn't even be able to clock how fast they go.
The radar just like breaks and starts smoking.
Explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually how you sustain that injury.
Exactly. With the radar exploded in my hand. All right, this is episode 50, Will. I think maybe we should at least acknowledge that. We've done 50 of these podcasts.
It's a huge milestone. Not as big as 100. Who knows if we'll ever make it to 100? Hopefully. Probably. I didn't know if we'd make it to 50, and here we are.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, we were gaining momentum with the podcast, and then we, like, plateaued. And now our numbers are worse this time than they were last year at this time.
People have caught on, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thanks to everybody who listens on a regular basis. I think that's the reason we do it. It's all worth it.
It is. All right,
that is why we do it. Because like, for like the random people, sorry for calling anybody random, but the people that, you know, reply to us on Twitter about like inside jokes from the podcast and asking us when we're going to record again because we're very terrible about scheduling, and generally just giving us feedback. I think that's, you know, that makes it definitely worthwhile, at least on my end.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is really hard to do.
It is, yeah.
Like, just getting on a microphone and talking about football is not everybody can do that.
Yeah, no, usually I just talk about football without a microphone. But if you understand the hours of sweat equity that it takes to untangle my microphone cord every week and plug it in to the USB port, you'd understand what kind of work I put into this.
Yeah, I could barely do that today with my thumb injury, so.
Exactly.
Be thankful we're here.
Yeah. Also, a big reason that we are where we are today is NFL Network television personality Adam Rank, who we've made two videos about. And they've been pretty popular videos.
Yeah, the first one did really well. And that was, of course, after he predicted the Broncos to go 2-14, which right. I think we talked a little bit about on the last podcast.
I think so.
And then I was pretty sure he referenced the video we made on the NFL Network, Will. Somebody tweeted me the link to that video because I was like in the mountains and the Oregon coast where I had almost no service. I was detached. So I'm glad. I forget who sent it to me, but thank you. So I saw him talking about well-produced videos on YouTube of people talking shit about him. I was like, that has to be us.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys are out there wasting their time like Will and I. So I made a video talking about that, kind of ripping him a little more, but mostly ripping myself for failing as, 'cause he compared me to filmmakers.
Yeah, and kind of like a weird set of filmmakers. Not like great filmmakers, but, you know, filmmakers nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider Christopher Nolan a great filmmaker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was mostly talking about like Kevin Smith and
Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decent filmmakers.
And those were guys I thought I could be, honestly. Like, I got into video because I thought I was going to direct movies. And
he's still good.
They were movies that I thought I could make where they're kind of dialogue heavy and comedic.
And Clerks, yeah.
You could do it maybe on a low budget. So Clerks, I loved Mallrats when I was a kid. I loved Swingers,
mm-hmm.
who Favreau wrote, didn't direct Will. He didn't That's direct right. that movie.
That's right. I had to set the record straight.
So that was, like, he didn't know it, but that was a pretty on-point sort of comparison to what I wanted to do.
It's like he knows you better than you.
Yeah, he was saying, like, I could get there and do it. Like, I'm this young kid out here talking shit on YouTube, and really I'm coming up to be a middle-aged man talking shit on YouTube, and I'm well past my prime of accomplishing what those guys have. So I had fun with that, and then Adam Rank reached out to me. And basically made me feel really bad for talking so much shit about him because he was really nice to me.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
What is the deal with that, Adam? Why did you have to compliment me and say I'm funny, and in no way at all did that offend you and you thought it was great? Maybe Adam and I will do a collab. Maybe. We'll see. But
He's got an open invitation to this podcast, I can tell you that.
Yeah. I sort of hope he, like, some, here's where I feel bad, because I thought we did a good job of making fun of his predictions and making fun of him a little bit, but more of, like, the NFL yeah. Network as a whole. And when people see that I do that, they take to Twitter and then they say just really mean things.
Yeah.
And I do that all the time, whether it's a play or whatever. I'm just like, ugh. So I'm sure Rank got a shit storm of really mean shit from Broncos fans because of that, which isn't my goal ever. But no. I like to call out bullshit when I see it. And the 2-14 thing was bullshit. Unless, of course, that actually happens. Then
we owe him an apology.
Crazy, yeah. Crazy story. Now, like, I don't even want to make fun of him because he was so nice to me. But I think he's cool with it. So
I think that's the reason he did it. Yeah. Is to get that kind of reaction.
I think we could spitball it into like a real sort of rivalry that is also fun. But, you know,
yes,
we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big wrestling guy, like he talks about. So I think he knows better than anybody how to play the heel.
Right.
And you have to, he's cultivating haters on the internet. And also cultivating followers on the internet right. for the same reason.
And we're about to do the same with
right. Dallas yeah. Cowboys. We took a lesson. We took a page out of Rank's book, and we're getting a little more inflammatory.
Oh yeah,
mean, cruel in some instances. And we picked an NFC team to talk shit about. Unfortunately, it's not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like I wanted.
God, that would have been fun though.
Yeah. Maybe at a later, maybe next season. Maybe we'll just pick a new team to hate.
Yeah, well, I think we can still do it with Tampa from time to time this season. Yeah. But
yeah.
I put a poll on my community tab, and the Cowboys. I said, "Who should Will and I hate in the NFC?" And that was Will's idea. He was like, "I feel like we need an NFC team to hate on, because it's getting old, like just shitting on the Patriots all the time and." We're going to continue to shit on the Patriots, but we needed another enemy. Sure. And you guys voted 60% of the votes went to the Cowboys, which was like 7,000 or 8,000 votes for us to hate on the Cowboys. So we're going to show you exactly how shitty of people Will and I can be by just unfairly criticizing them in this next video. So I'm excited about it because it's actually maybe the most fun video to write in a while.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, we're getting kind of tired of the team-by-team breakdowns. And this, I think, injected new life into that format.
Yeah.
And hopefully for everybody watching, too.
Yeah, so we'll call this the finale of the team breakdowns for the offseason.
Yeah.
And maybe I can set up something on – maybe we'll do Patreon where you get to vote for a team or a player for us to just relentlessly tear to shreds. And then maybe during the season, we can make that at like a monthly thing for the Patreon audience only. I don't know, just spitballing here.
Yeah, because we can't get to everybody's team as much as we'd like to make fun of all of you, really.
Yeah.
We are just two people. So we got to the teams that were probably easiest to talk about. I know for some reason the Bengals came up a lot on Twitter and in the comments. And for some reason, yeah, people want us to talk about the Bengals. But there's really not a lot to talk about
with
the Bengals this year.
And
we had to pick the low-hanging fruit, so to speak.
Yeah, and most of – like half of them, I think we let – you guys voted for on YouTube, which was helpful for me and Will to know what the fuck you wanted us to talk about. And actually, if we started just by shitting on every team's offseason like we did with the Cowboys, I think we could have gotten through all 32 because
yeah,
I feel like – and the episode's not completely written, but I feel like Will cranked out 75% of it in less than an hour. And then I went in there a little bit yesterday and this morning and put in maybe another 20 minutes. And it's almost a full episode. And it's just, it's us being very mean.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to find things to be mean about.
Well, it's like you don't have to be analytical. You don't have to like
exactly
look into, oh yeah, how was this guy in college? Did he do anything I should know about?
Yeah, it's like I don't fucking know.
Yeah. And I totally missed this offseason that David Irvin, right?
Yeah.
He retired.
Let me see. Yeah, he retired to smoke weed.
Yeah, and he announced his retirement while smoking weed on Instagram. Did you see that video? I totally missed that. And I'm going to put it in, but
I did.
It's like smoking like a big joint and talking about, and he has valid points of why he should be able to smoke weed-ish, but I can't believe we didn't do a video on that, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't, but better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, it's perfect for this Cowboys video.
It is, yeah. Should we get to...
Yeah, let's talk about... Broncos news? Yeah, and then we'll talk about the QB ratings and then get out of here. Because it's summertime still.
It is, yeah, what the hell. So, the big news out of Broncos camp this week is that...
Nothing. It is nothing. We spent... I don't know, 10 minutes talking about Drew Lock possibly, maybe holding out. And then he signed his contract last night, last second. So I cut the rest of this shit and then jumped back in for just a little agent contract talk before we get into the quarterback rankings. So that's what happened. Wait. I have some today news, some today Bronco training camp news. Emmanuel Sanders has been cleared to practice on the first day of training camp. So that's a bit of a surprise because I think many believed he wouldn't be cleared for a while. But I guess he got that package of PEDs I sent him and had a very healthy, speedy recovery. And he looks good out there. He looks good out there today.
It's actually, I don't really care about Reisner and Locke. I just think like the agents have had a lot of time to figure this shit out. So
yeah, it's like they got drafted in April. Like you can't. How long does this take? Like you get your pay is basically slotted by where you get taken in the draft, with like very little wiggle room. Like you said about the guaranteed money, does it really take 2.5 months?
Yeah,
to dot the I's and cross the T's and sign on the dotted line. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
it does.
Maybe with Locke, you could put some sort of incentive in there. But like Mike Kliss said, that the agent's looking for a quarterback premium. So I don't know how much more money they're hoping to get. I don't know. It just, yeah, it's just one of those agent things where we don't have enough info to really understand, like, is the agent holding it up? Is it the Broncos? Is it kind of half and half? The players are supposed to listen to their agents. I know I would if I was a fucking player, and they're like, no, just we're going to get you more money. Don't say anything. Don't show up. All right. I don't have to work, and you're going to get me more money? This is a weird world.
Yeah, funny how that works. We should also mention that Drew Lock, I don't know if Dalton Reisner, I'm going to assume that he's a working class guy just based on the position he plays and his name and the fact that he's from semi – farmland Colorado.
Oh yeah, he was born with a blue collar on.
Yeah, just came out of the slit out of the womb with a
naked and a blue collar.
Yeah. And Drew Lock slid out with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's a rich kid from Kansas City.
Rich guy.
Probably one of the richest people in Missouri, if I had to take a guess. So yeah. I mean, on one hand, you've already got some money, Drew Lock. Clearly, you're not hurting for money at this point. On the second hand, you don't get rich by turning down money.
Right. And if I know anything about Missouri and wealth from the show Ozarks, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Drew Locke's family is into some shady, you know, redneck mafia type dealings in and around like the Ozark areas.
I think that's fair to bring up. And I'm going to be completely honest. I did not know that the Ozarks were in Missouri.
Pretty sure.
Probably. For the sake of this segment, let's just go with yes.
Yeah, I think it's Missouri. Maybe Mississippi. Let me look. I have the internet.
Tomato, tomato, honestly.
Ozarks. Land of the Ozarks. Is a physiographic region in the United States of Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and extreme southeastern Kansas.
Wow. Extreme southeastern.
So.
There you go.
Yeah, Drew Locke's family runs the Ozarks. That's all we know at this point.
That's what we've established. I think the only thing that is kind of a bummer is if he misses probably a couple more practices, I'm doubting that he's going to be able to play in the Hall of Fame game. And that's really the only tragedy here.
Yeah, I mean,
we'd all like to see him.
The one thing I'm actually looking forward to this preseason is watching Drew Locke play. I think they already said Kevin Hogan's going to start the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
So, and I want to see Drew Locke play like a lot just to get a read on him, because if we're honest, I never watched him play at Missouri or wherever he went.
It's going to be a lot of Brett Rippon. Going to be a lot of
Brett. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, if I had Brett Rippon behind me, I would damn sure be at training camp today.
I would not miss a snap.
No.
If I had Brett Rippon breathing down my neck.
He went to Boise, right?
He did, yeah.
I stayed in Boise on my way to Oregon, so.
People were probably talking about Brett Rippon over there.
Yeah, they were. Everywhere I went, Brett Rippon this, Brett Rippon that. How do you want your coffee? Did you ever hear about Brett Rippon? That's exactly what my stay in Portland or Boise was like.
It's going to be ripping it up, if you know what I mean.
I think I mentioned on here before, though, when I went to Oregon last year and I had my Broncos hat on, like the first 10 minutes in the city, somebody started talking to me about Royce Freeman.
That's fair.
So
they love their football in Oregon.
Though, man, they do.
Also in Boise, also in most places of the country, they love their football.
Brett Rippon is just this year's version of Royce Freeman.
Yeah, he's going to run for like 500 yards. So we've established.
But we'll talk more about what's actually happening after we get some training camp camp shit going.
And in the video. So check out the video if it's not already up.
No, it's not. Oh, yeah, it might be already up. Shit.
By the time.
I might post this Thursday. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, this whole show, like the – yeah, it kind of bends the space-time continuum.
Yeah. We don't operate in any sort of time.
No. We operate in the fourth dimension at best.
All right, let's do these QB rankings.
Okay.
Stupid.
So, Kian Fahey is a former ESPN football analyst.
Oh, so he was actually at ESPN.
He was, yeah. And then he got fired.
That's why he's popular. Okay.
He got fired, but he was popular before, and I used to read him before. He goes into extreme depth, especially when he's rating quarterbacks. And making all these metrics for quarterbacks. So he has his own method. There's a method to his madness, and it's certainly madness because all these metrics add up in a very bizarre quarterback ranking scale.
Yeah, I feel like you know who Brett Coleman is, right?
I think so. Probably.
Well, he used to work at the NFL Network, and then he does like really in-depth tape breakdowns of players. And he just does his shit on YouTube and Patreon like Kian, but without like the madness.
Yeah. And so he puts out his quarterback rankings every single year. So it's consistently around this time. I wrote about it on the old website last year, just kind of breaking down how preposterous it was. And here's the thing. A lot of people think it's clickbait, and I understand that. But he's very clear on his methodology for coming out for these rankings. It's not arbitrary. He's not just kind of – he's not winging it at all. Also, another thing that leads me to believe he believes this and it's not clickbait is he blocks just about everybody who disagrees with him on Twitter. I'm shocked I'm not blocked yet. I'm sure it'll happen soon. Maybe he'll catch wind about this like Adam Rank. And not take it as well as Adam. But we need to dig into this because there's just a lot to unpack. Should we go just kind of through the categories that he's put out there?
Yeah. So you can
starting with the studs.
Yeah, maybe I'll screenshot this and put it in the video so people can see if I remember.
Right. Yeah, that'll probably help.
Yeah, but give us the classifications.
So we're going from studs to duds here. That would have actually been a better way to put it. But that's not how he categorized these. So he's got 1 through 5 are studs. Then he's got his emerging studs. Then aging Hall of Famers. He spelled aging incorrectly, but he's also from Ireland, so maybe that's how they spelled over there.
I respect that. I have that same weakness.
He's got one high-end starter in the right role, which might surprise you. Two high-end youngsters. Two average starters. A high-potential youngster. A high-variance starter. A high-variance youngster. Declining former star. Several low-end starters / rookies. A quarterback who finds ways to lose games. A low-end starter / unknown, a backup, an athlete playing quarterback. And no, it's not Lamar Jackson. Another backup and a low upside youngster. So let's just dig into the studs here. Number one out of all the 32 starting quarterbacks, you've got Andrew Luck. That's fair. I think that's fair. That's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, Andrew Luck's a stud.
He is. There's no denying it.
Let me do this a way that I think will make you happy and our audience just appreciate your true hate. There are 5 studs listed here.
Yep.
And I am going to bet that you adamantly disagree with number 3 being a stud.
That's fair. I would. I mean, all joking aside, I think he's close to being properly ranked.
Okay, big man of you, Will. But the first 5 studs are Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton.
That's where I disagree after 4.
Cam Newton, right?
Is
That's
way
the weird
high.
One to me, too, because...
Yeah.
Especially if you're basing this off last year. Like, Cam
exactly.
Newton was not a stud, and I don't give a shit about the injury. Like,
no.
He played very up and down football last year.
I mean, he plays up and down football for most of his career, excluding 2015. And eventually he did play down football that year at the very end. But yeah, Cam is kind of absurd at 5. I don't know anyone who would agree with that. I don't think he's top 10.
I think he's actually a high variance starter.
Way to use the parlance of the rankings.
I think high variant starter, Cam Newton, for sure.
All right, so it gets even more off the rails. Number 6, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, before we do that, I think I'm just happy that he didn't put Tom Brady in the stud list. That's all.
That's fair.
I'm starting to like Keelan Murphy better now.
That's racist. We can go into it. Thank you for actually calling him Killian Murphy, not Cillian Murphy, like so many people.
Yeah, I think you already corrected me on that once before sometimes. Yeah,
let's show respect to the next James Bond, please. Dak Prescott is 6th, and Marcus Mariota is the 7th best quarterback in the NFL.
Is emerging studs.
A guy who threw more interceptions than touchdowns last year is better than our next 4, which are Tom Brady – is a aging Hall of Famer. These are all aging Hall of Famers. Drew Brees and Philip Rivers.
Yeah. Okay. Marcus Mariota is an emerging stud just by math of how long he's been in the league, I think is incorrect.
How long does it take to emerge?
I think this year, if Dak takes a leap forward, you can argue that.
I don't hate Dak at all. Like, I think he gets a lot of criticism. Actually, no, fuck Dak. He's on the Cowboys.
Oh yeah, we gotta stick by that. I think. Yeah. I don't know. That's, I feel like Dak Prescott. Dak. Trying to figure out the right ranking for him based on this.
I think it's like 17, 16, 17, maybe.
Average starter. think he's an average there's no above average starter.
I mean, to say like he's average would I just think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league right now, and to say he's average among, you know, the rest of the starters is not an insult. He's taken his team to the playoffs two out of his first 3 years. I think he's a good starter. He's a starter you can win with. I don't think he's someone that you want to pay over $30 million a year, but that's kind of the structure that we've built for ourselves.
Yeah, I think like if from a statistical perspective too, like Dak's been pretty consistent. And the two seasons that the Cowboys went to the playoffs, he kept his interceptions low. He's thrown 23 and 22 touchdowns every season. But in 2017, he threw 13 picks compared to 8 last year and 4 his rookie season. That's when the Cowboys line was just insanely good, though. But with a good team around him, I think Dak is a top top 12. We'll go top 12 quarterback, but emerging stud, I don't know. He's got to prove he can be a stud. Because at his best, he hasn't been a stud yet.
So Marcus Mariota was basically the reason that the Titans weren't like a 12-4 team last year. They're a really good roster outside of the quarterback. Their offseason moves kind of confirm that they don't think he's an emerging stud, basically by bringing in Ryan Tannehill as insurance. Not only is he not an emerging stud, he's a very often injured stud, which is not a good way to go about being a stud.
Yeah, he had a lot of injuries last year too. So
yeah, I get that, you know, stats aren't everything, but you got to throw more touchdowns and interceptions in this league, I think, as a general rule.
Yeah, well, he did last year, but in 2017 he threw more picks.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, last year it was 11 touchdowns and 8 picks. So
awesome, 11 touchdowns, emerging stud. Cool. Anyway, we've got Brady at 9, Brady at 8, Breeze at 9, Rivers at 10. All aging Hall of Famers. My only problem is Philip Rivers not a Hall of Famer.
My only problem is I think Breeze is a better aging Hall of Famer than Brady.
Yeah.
If you had to give me one of those quarterbacks right now in terms of how good I think they are and the amount of athleticism they still have in them, I'm going to go with Drew Brees. And don't get me wrong, Tom Brady did what he had to do to win a Super Bowl last year, but
yeah,
I don't
agree with the, you know, the connotation that Brady is aging, because if you look at him, he's definitely reversing the aging process via not eating tomatoes and injecting a lot of Botox into his face with every passing day.
Right.
So he's actually the first person.
He gets younger every year.
Benjamin Button to reverse the normal process of aging. Yep. So we have to think about our labels and what kind of Hall of Famer he is. So he's actually, a youthening Hall of Famer. Is that a word? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, youthening sounds like a word you shouldn't say.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. Here's a really weird one. Russell Wilson is the 11th best quarterback in the league. He's a high-end starter in the right role. This is a guy that's won a Super Bowl, basically dragged the Seahawks. I'd say he's absolutely not in the right role. He's in the role where the Seahawks don't have an offensive lineman in front of him, and he just has to run around and get pummeled every game and still somehow win games for them.
Yeah, and just wait for receivers to get open.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of better roles that he could be in.
Didn't Doug Baldwin retire?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
It will, but I still think he's one of those – he's one of the very few quarterbacks in this league, and that's why it's stupid that he's at 11 that makes his receivers better.
Yeah, I would put Russell Wilson in the stud role. I would too.
Yeah. Like, I put him at 5 where Cam is.
Yeah, totally agree there.
All right, so this one's just If you're gonna if you're gonna argue that this is a clickbait, this is the example you'd use. Lamar Jackson is 12. He is a high-end youngster.
High-end youngster. Ahead, just ahead of Deshaun Watson, also high-end youngster. Now, I would say Deshaun Watson, definitely high-end youngster. One more season than Lamar Jackson. But in that one more season, and his rookie season, has just looked like a better all-around quarterback.
Yeah, in every facet of the game, really.
Like, Lamar Jackson has to prove he can throw a football in the NFL.
I don't know how you watch that that wild card game against the Chargers and come away with Philip Rivers only being two slots higher than Lamar Jackson, who literally just could not complete a pass until the fourth quarter. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I refuse to understand it. It's simply not true.
Now, 14 and 15, you got Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, both listed as average starters, which is what I thought they were going to be when they were drafted. They both have proved to be better.
They've both proved to be really good, I think.
Carson Wentz, I think he's kind of hard to rank because of his injuries, but he's definitely better than an average starter.
I'm giving him the MVP for the 2017 season, because if he doesn't get hurt, he's absolutely the MVP that year. And they only had like a couple games left. I don't think he's going to, you know, crumble down the stretch. But how do you – and Goff obviously has had a poor rookie season and then two really good seasons since then, the most recent one where he took his team to the Super Bowl. And, he didn't play well in the Super Bowl, but I think that's worth higher than 15.
Yeah, he's an above – yeah, I don't know how good Jared Goff will be long-term or how good he would be without, you know, Sean McVay and the offense he's in. But
I get that argument. But
he's winning games. Like, he's winning football games with his team, so
He's not along for the ride. I'll just say that. He's more than that. Number 16, a high-potential youngster, Baker Mayfield. So how the fuck could you watch last season – and put Lamar Jackson four spots ahead of Baker Mayfield? And I'm not even the hugest Baker Mayfield fan. I just think that's – I think you got to bleach your eyes and just start over.
Yeah, I think guys that should not be in front of Baker are Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, Lamar Jackson.
We're talking about a guy that led the Cleveland Browns to a winning record last year.
Was it winning?
It was 8-7-1, and plus he.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, plus he only played in game three. So.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield's got a great potential to prove that he's going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL this season.
Yeah, and I think he's higher than. Well, I mean. Yeah. No, I think that's.
Yeah, he should be in the middle-ish here.
He should be in the
high middle-ish, but like.
It's about the people that are ahead of him and the people that are behind him should be switched. 17, high variant starter, Mitch Trubisky. Probably a little – probably – I don't know. I guess that's fair. Maybe a couple spots too high. Which leads us to Sam Darnold, 18. Way too high at this point. Not saying he can't be. But just based on last season, I think that's too high.
He's ahead of Ben Roethlisberger and Matthew Stafford.
Dean is a declining former star. Okay. I agree that he's declining. I don't think he's a former star. I think he's a current star.
Yeah, how is he not, like, part of the aging Hall of Famer crew?
Yeah, is he just not a Hall of Famer at this point? Have we decided that Rivers is unequivocally and Ben Roethlisberger is just not making the Hall of Fame with his
two Super Bowl wins.
Super Bowls and a billion touchdown passes. I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
Maybe he just thinks Antonio Brown was the key to that offense and not Ben Roethlisberger. Because we all know how many Super Bowls Ben Roethlisberger has won without Antonio Brown. Zero.
Zero. None.
All right. So, 20 is Stafford. Apparently a low end. We got six low-end starters. So I'll just run through it.
Yeah.
Stafford, Dalton, Derek Carr, Nick Foles, Eli Manning, Kyler Murray, 25. Wow. Oh, also Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne.
Yeah.
They have rookies added to theirs. Low end. I like Matthew Stafford. I probably think he's better than he really is. Andy Dalton, low end starter. Agree with Derek Carr, low end starter. I would say average starter.
I'd definitely put Carr ahead of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I'd put Carr ahead of Darnold. I'd put Carr ahead of Dalton. Nick Foles, yeah. A Super Bowl winner, is a low-end starter. Man, Nick Foles can't convince anybody of anything.
What does it take, man? Played really well last season. Played even better the year before.
Yeah. I feel like he's more of a high-variance starter. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I think he's in the right role.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does in Jacksonville. Eli Manning at this point, low-end starter, fair.
Yeah, probably too high, honestly, for Eli.
Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, really kind of impossible to tell.
Yeah, I would just put those like in a separate category because what?
Yeah, you should just have rookies.
Right, Murray spelled wrong. That's a good way to get credibility. All right, I disagree with this one. 27 is Kirk Cousins, and his category is not low end starter or anything really. It's just finds ways to lose games.
I think that's really funny though.
It is pretty funny, but all right. Kirk Cousins, like obviously the Vikings had their shortcomings last year, but Kirk Cousins threw 30 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. And I don't know how that is worth the 27th spot. Yeah. Okay. I don't get it.
Yeah. I think like to me, Kirk Cousins feels similar to like Jared Goff in that, neither one of them feel like a clutch quarterback, but
he's going to put up numbers and win games.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I guess Cousins just hasn't won a ton of games. He's kind of been in the middle of the road with win-loss, but I would have to watch all of Kirk Cousins' games to see how many fourth quarters that he blew, which I don't know if that's the story there.
Yeah, I don't agree with that one. I would replace the label of finds ways to lose games with does not cheat on his wife.
There you go.
That's an old podcast joke. If you've been listening for the full 50 episodes. Around.
Then we have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Starter / unknown gets his a category of his own, which I think Garoppolo deserves his own category. I think unknown is fair.
I don't think he's a low-end starter, though, / unknown, because when he does play, he's been really good.
I think – can't we just – it should just be unknown. He is unknown.
Yeah, he is just an unknown at this point. I think you could say, like, unknown / paid probably a little bit too much for his accomplishments, which are, you know, pretty – he led a pretty bad 49ers team to a really good record at the end of the year in 2017, which I think is worth something because he played really well. And he's also got he's got a lot of very unique quarterback skills. I think he's got the quickest release out of anybody on this list. And he's just got accuracy and rhythm that a lot of these guys don't have, and I think is worth being higher than 28. Like who in their right mind would take Andy Dalton or Eli Manning or even Nick Foles, really? Maybe Nick Foles. But who would take Eli Manning ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right now, nobody.
That swap as a GM, you'd be fired on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, based on his looks alone, Garoppolo deserves to be top 20.
Right. Can we just call him hot starter / unknown?
Hot bod, big guy, dude boy.
Tall and dark. Tall, dark, and handsome. All right, Jameis is 29. He is listed as a backup.
How is that not 32?
Here's the thing. It's just not true. He's just not a backup. Whatever way you spin it, he is the starting quarterback of the Buccaneers, a team that I hate. bizarre. Okay. All right. Number 30 is Josh Allen, who is an athlete playing quarterback. Okay. Yes, he did run a lot. that's what young quarterbacks do when they can run. I don't think that makes you an athlete playing quarterback. I think that's what I would call Lamar Jackson, honestly.
Yeah, or Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put Lamar Jackson at 30th necessarily. There's just a lot of good quarterbacks. There's more good quarterbacks than there are bad quarterbacks.
That's a hot take and an accurate one.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Not hot at all.
I don't think it was always the case, but.
No. Yeah, there are a lot of talented quarterbacks.
Right.
And
so, go ahead.
No, here we are at 31.
Yeah, if you're wondering, we haven't named a certain elite quarterback yet through 30 spots, and that's Joe Flacco, who has been listed as a backup. Also, equivocally untrue, he is a starter. So that right off the bat, that's just not accurate.
Starter, Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
I think Flacco's fair rating is average starter right now. Because that's basically what he's been since winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think average or like low-end starter is fair too. I'd put him around Derek Carr, Dalton.
But we all know this year is going to be different, so it doesn't matter.
Fair. And then 32, this is just mean. I don't like this at all. This is not cool. Low upside youngster, Josh Rosen.
He's young, and he doesn't even have a chance to be very good.
I think
Josh Rosen is basically
got upside. He is a youngster, definitely. By the way, what's with this youngster stuff? Like, who is he, Brent Musburger? This is just – I don't like this at all.
Yeah, this guy can't be that old. This youngster? Who says youngster?
He's from Ireland. Why can't he call him, like, low-end, low-upside lads?
Look at this guy. Like, yeah. He's got a great arm on him, old your laddie-doo.
I disagree with the labels. I disagree with pretty much the entire order of this list outside of the top four, really.
Is this just basically like his sort of take? What, you remember the other QB rating that was like going around the internet a couple months ago? The tiers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like super easy. It was just, this is like his version, but where he just made up all of his own categories.
Right. Yeah. Some of the categories don't really make a lot of sense, as we talked about. But I think he arrived, I don't know. I mean, I guess he arrived at these rankings via some sort of process and some sort of established methodology that he runs these quarterbacks through. You'd hope is based on some sort of numbers-based or evidence-based way to look at things. My problem is if your methodology is what got you at these rankings, it might be time to question your methodology is what right. I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, I would like to know the classifications for each category he has that moves a quarterback up or down based on the way he sees their performance.
Right, right. And if he ever wants to come on the show and talk about it,
we'll gladly host.
Yeah, he's – unless Adam Rank's coming on, then we have to make way for our friend.
Yeah, Adam Rank comes first.
Always, always.
In our hearts and in life.
Yeah.
And in bed.
You beat me to it.
I could see it in your eyes.
I wanted it. You just wanted it more.
There will be a cum joke in the Drew Lock episode, so look forward to that as well.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed the 50th episode of our podcast.
Episode, quarterback rankings, training camp is starting. We are going to have shit to talk about very soon.
Yeah, finally.
So thanks to everybody who listened to the podcast during the off season. Again, give us another couple weeks, and then we will be back to weekly.
Can't wait.
Okay.